Greetings, my fellow Earthlings. Welcome to Raven's Rabbit Hole. I am your intrepid host, Raven McMinn, and this is my cosmic rabbit hole, a place where we keep an open mind, we question everything, we tell our truth loud and proud. We think outside of the box, we walk on the wild side, always down the roads less traveled, and we always maintain a healthy sense of humor. If you're interested in extraterrestrials or parallel worlds, other dimensions, star seeds, crystals, lost history, metaphysics, quantum science, paranormal phenomenon, or if you are a tinfoil hat designer, then you're in the right place, my friend. But all are welcome here. With one foot firmly grounded in Mother Earth and in science and logic, and the other foot out in the cosmos exploring the woo-est of the woo-woo, each week I try to blend those two things and bring you topics and guests that will expand your awareness and raise your consciousness about this crazy world that we live in. It's my sincerest hope that in this next hour, you'll either be educated, inspired, find it interesting, empowering, or at the very least, entertaining. Whatever the case may be, I thank you for being here. I'd like to invite you to be part of our chat room. To do so, go to 12radio.com. On the left-hand side, the third one down, you'll see chat. Give that a click. If you've never joined our group before, because it's a private Facebook chat room, you'll see another little place there where it says join group. Give that a click. And my wonderful producer, Jay, who is waiting in the wings, will see your request, get you approved, and then you'll be entered right on in. So just look for my banner that says Raven's Rabbit Hole, and you're free to comment and post under there. And if you're worried about being in a rabbit hole and getting lost, don't be, because Jay is also a wizard. He'll find you and bring you safely back to the surface by the end of the show. So no worries there. I'd like to give Jay a shout out. Thank you for all that he does to get us on the air and sounding good. Speaking of the chat room, I'm going to try to get over there to the chat room right now and say a quick hello to everybody who's here tonight. I have a wonderful guest here for you waiting in the wings, and I'll bring her in just a moment. We have a beautiful moon out there tonight. Moon just went into Scorpio at 10 o'clock Eastern time, so that was just a few minutes ago. And I want to thank everyone that attended the Moon Project last week. We had a lot of fun, and we'll be doing another one here for the new moon coming up in a week and a half. And to get registered for that, go to 12academy.com. Jay and I would love to have you. We do this every new moon and every full moon, and we have a really good deal there. All right, there we go. Facebook, here we go. All right, and there's Cindy. Hi, Cindy, welcome. How are you doing this evening? I have to click this thing here that says all chats because I can only see one person here. Okay. Oh, the weekly battle with freaking Facebook, you know, isn't it fun? Yeah, now it's just going to give me a stall thing. Okay, well, I will get back to the chat room to say hello to the rest of you. I can sense you there. Hello and welcome, everyone. But I will address you personally here in a little bit. So tonight's topic is something that has been brought to my attention by several listeners. And it is this concept of a soul trap. And so what a soul trap is this concept is actually a very old concept. It started with the Gnostics, that we are spirit trapped in flesh, and that there are forces, which they call the Archons. Modern day, they are called the Reptilians, that are trying to keep humanity enslaved and have created a false light at the end of the tunnel. Everyone's heard of the near-death experiences where you go through a tunnel of light, you know, when you pass away, but that they've created a false one. And in so doing, they trap you into what's called a reincarnation machine, or the ancients called it samsara, where you're just over and over and over again on this wheel, coming back and dying. And so I wanted to explore this topic, and so I invited Christina LaFrance, who is a 12 radio host on Mondays and 12 listen advisor, and I asked Christina about this. I didn't know if this was going to be something that she'd just laugh me right off the phone about or what, but so I wanted to bring her on tonight so we could discuss this and explore what this is, since so many of you have asked me about this. So welcome, Christina. I'm glad to have you back in the rabbit hole. Come on in.
Thank you. Thank you, Raven. Thank you for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
So did you think I was an absolute lunatic when I explained this whole story the first time?
I got to admit that I've never heard of this before, the soul trap, but it's quite interesting. I did a little bit of research, not that much, because I wanted to really just take it all in real time. But yeah, it's an interesting topic, and I could definitely see where there's some truths that are there within the concept of it for sure.
Yeah, there's something to it, because even the Tibetans, like when someone passes away there, one of the monks will stay with the body up to, I think it's 5 days after the death, chanting and praying to get them safely to the other side. They believe in these different detours that the soul can take on its journey back to the afterlife, and that some
Wow.
of them get caught. Were seduced by things that they enjoyed in life. Like if they were a drinker, they would on their path there run across a roadside bar, and people would be like, "Oh, hi, yeah, come on in, have a drink." All the
That what
trappings
happened to
of
us, Raven?
I think so.
My God, that's hysterical.
Yeah, whatever, if it's food, they'll run across, a big banquet being held and just get caught up. When you have time is so funky on the other side anyway, supposedly, that a lot of time can pass equivalent to Earth years, but it only seems like minutes over there. But yeah, so the Tibetans will pray with the body for a long time, 5 days or so after they've just passed away. There's the whole samsara thing, the wheel of reincarnation that the Hindus have spoken of. And then this latest, more modern version has to do with a reptilian race that has basically enslaved humanity into this karmic wheel that we can't get off of until we recognize our power and our essence, our God essence inside of us. And we start to kind of escape the matrix. You've heard of life kind of being, very much like the movie The Matrix.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, but there's a lot, it explains the Mandela effect. But anyway, I don't want to get too sidetracked off to that. We basically bring a prison planet. And the reason why these reptilians do this is because they harvest our energy, our suffering mostly. It's an energy they call luge. And whenever we are depressed or we are anxious, we're in strife, we're angry, all of those base negative emotions are like heroin to them. They love it. And it's a food source. And
Wow.
so that is why they, allegedly, will possess the rich and famous and elite and decision makers to make the worst decisions possible for the masses, so that it keeps us in misery and strife and in poverty and
Wow.
all the problems.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. This, like I said, this is not a new age thing. This goes back to the Gnostics talking about it. Now they had different names for these things. We call them reptilians today. They call them archons. And they're a spiritual entity that's non-corporeal that feed off negative energy.
Wow.
Kind of unsettling to think that we're not the top of the food chain, huh?
Too much. I mean, I definitely think that there's a lot of truth that rings through, in terms of how, we're on like this karmic wheel. I believe that once we have a life here, on the earth plane, we start this karmic wheel way, way back when we started living lives that, once we start, we can't get off until we kind of complete our, education, so to speak, on this earth plane. And I think that a lot of people really feel trapped by that, especially when they're on the earth plane having these types of experiences. So I could understand where that kind of theory would come to pass and be something that people believed in for sure.
I have even met girls that decided not to have children specifically so that they would not create any new karma and be stuck here and have another reason to have to come back.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've
What's
definitely heard
that?
of people saying that,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God. It's crazy. It's a I mean, it's an interesting theory for sure. I definitely think that our personalities are what brings us to that kind of thinking. I think it's more of our personalities when we're here on the earth plane that comes to those kind of conclusions. I think that when we're souls, we know that we're coming here and we know that we're going to create karma and that it's going to take time and many lifetimes to move through those kind of karmic ties that we create. So I don't think that the soul is trapped. I think that the egoic mind is trapped, and I think that the personality is trapped. But I think that when we are in our souls, we don't feel that way. And the whole part about when we're crossing over and there's these places that can pull us, I don't know. I mean, that, it's an interesting concept, but it's also, if you think about it, they do say that where you're vibrating, you will return to, right? So, I don't know. I don't feel like that's not totally true, but it's interesting.
I know, and I'm thinking, wow, okay, that's a lot. But I've never heard of a near-death experience where that was an issue or ever brought up. I was a huge fan of Sylvia Brown. She, in the beginning, was instrumental on my path, and she would talk about the left door, and that was kind of like what would be a, not hell, but like akin to a purgatory, so to speak, where your murderers and your really bad people would go through the left door, but they wouldn't be going and cast into hell. And yeah, I've listened to many near-death experiences, and nobody has talked about this wheel of seeing. It's supposed to be on the dark side of the moon. Now, what we do know, so I started down a line of research with the moon. We had sent a probe up there and got pictures of the dark side of the moon, and allegedly we knew there's a base there. And this comes from William Tomkinson. He's a Canadian, and he was one of the higher ups in the Ministry of Defense. He was privy to all of that, top secret information, and he came out shortly before his death. His death was most recently, I mean, it was 2 years ago, I think. Anyway, he divulged everything, and he confirmed that the reptilian race is a real thing, that there is a base on the dark side of the moon. You see, and allegedly, this reincarnation machine is on the dark side of the moon. Well, you can't prove that either way. I've never been there myself, so it doesn't sound like a place I want to go either. But when we look at lives and so forth, and all the things that are kind of fated, you're kind of the people that you meet in life, that you have marriages with, that you have friendships with, and some of the things that were meant to be, that were planned out, I would think they're not going to take the time to do that. But yet there is evidence of us planning out our next life. And if these reptilian races are doing this just to have a food, they're not going to take that much care of time. They're just going to throw you in this thing and let it spit you back out, right? They're a cruel race of ETs. But so I don't know. There's parts of it that ring possible and maybe true. And some of it seems kind of a little far-fetched and more kind of new age fiction. I don't know. I could not find a definitive yes or no anywhere.
It and I think the reason why is because some of it comes and derives from some sort of truth. And you know what I think, Raven? I think that I think this might fall under like conspiracy theory type of mindset, right? And I think that sometimes there is truths in conspiracy theory, and I think that sometimes people just get carried away, right? And I think that the part of us or the part of people that get carried away in that type of thought process is the part that really just wants an explanation for the miserable life that they're living at the moment. Am I wrong? wrong? I mean, am I wrong? It's fucking true. Excuse my French, but it's true, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that that's where people get carried away with that kind of thought process is like, you know, this can't be something that I signed up for. You know, the wounded ego and the, you know, the egoic mind that is wounded will come up with a million and one reasons why things are happening to avoid looking at themselves, right? So my intuitive spidey senses tell me that we have some truth that's involved in this theory that is out there for sure, but there is a lot of egoic, you know, trickery going on there from the pain of the egoic mind that really wants to make sense of things. And rarely do soul contracts make any sense. Remember, we spoke about that in the last time that we were on air together on Backstage Pass, is that, you know, it rarely makes sense to the human mind. So you could understand how the human mind would get really taken out of control in trying to make sense of these crazy contracts that we come here to fulfill.
Right. Michael Newman is a psychologist who has done a lot of work with patients under hypnosis, just like Dolores Cannon. And I have both of his books, and we talk about what the souls do in between lives. And then his other book goes into detail about how we pick who we're going to incarnate with, who's going to play what role, and how we choose things, how we work with these light beings to map out the life based on what we want to learn. And I would think, you know, there's nothing in there saying there's any reptilians coming in, ruining the show, snatching people and throwing them in some kind of a contraption, and, you know, chews them up, spits them back out again. I just how I kind of envision it. But there again, you know, why do the Tibetans feel it so important to sit with the corpse that long and chant and make sure that they get them safely to the other side?
Well, you know, I think there's a reason for that. I mean, there's probably multitudes of reasons for it, but I think one being that when the body, when the soul leaves the body, that it's kind of a shocking thing, and it's a lot of disorientation. You really, when you come to this earth plane and you live out your contract and you live out your life, you really do believe that you are Raven. Like, you believe that that's where it ends. Like, that's who you are. And once you're back and encapsulated inside of the soul, when you leave the human form, there's a lot of confusion that goes on. And listen, if there are, angels, there are definitely the opposite of that could probably meet you on the way, right? So and really, depending on how you're departing this life, you know, if you're departing this life in a lot of agony, I mean, let's just put it out there, what if somebody's murdered, they leave their body via a murder, you know? That's really some dark stuff there. That's a dark energy that you are moving through this portal out of your body in the energy of murder. So you could understand why the monks would do that, you know, depending, you know, right. it just depends. Cause I mean, they say that your consciousness prior to leaving the earth plane has a lot to do with where you're going once you get there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that kind of makes sense to me.
The people at the Monroe Institute, inventor of the hemisync, have you heard of?
Oh yeah.
They go and they rescue souls. They do soul retrieval, and they have he takes them through a meditation. These are all volunteers that all go in these little private rooms and lay down.
Yeah, I was on a waiting list to do it.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, you can explain it better than I do.
I can't. You go right ahead. You're a wealth of information, much bigger than mine. I know that I thought it was very interesting, and I was on a waiting list. Waiting for an interview to be trained to do soul retrieval. This is going back like 10 years ago. I just thought it was the coolest thing, so I was willing to do it, you know?
Yeah, and bless you for that, because these are souls that they're stuck in between dimensions. Mm-hmm. They're not, you know, physical anymore, but some of them don't know they're dead. Some of them do know they're dead, but they just don't know what to do. They somehow missed that doorway, the tunnel of light or whatever it actually is, and they're stuck. And these volunteers will, he takes them through a meditation of being like in an elevator. Yeah. And then he stops on the floor and one of them gets off and then goes and finds a soul. There's like, for example, there's an old man sitting on a park bench, and it's the park bench that he and his wife would always sit at in what's that big park you have there in New York?
Oh, I should know this.
yeah, that one.
Anyway, yeah, that one. My brain is not working correctly.
He was there, and he knew that he wasn't quite alive, but he didn't know where to go or what to do. So he was just hoping that she would find him because she had passed away several years prior. And so he was just sitting there waiting, just in limbo on this favorite park bench, yeah, just watching yeah. people go by.
Hence where that, and, that so the term comes from, right? Limbo, like, you know, the Catholics talk about being in limbo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the volunteer sat down on the park bench with him and explained to him that he had passed away. He says, well, I kind of gathered that because, you know, nobody can see me. No one talks to me when I say hello. They just walk right past me. And he was like, so are you ready to go home? And yes, I'd really love to see my wife again. And they call in the angels, and this like portal opens up, this portal of light, a big beam of light comes down.
Into the light.
And they just walk into the light, and the angels escort them where they need to go.
Yeah.
But there's all these different levels. So he'll take people down, you know, this elevator goes, you know, indefinite amount of floors that you can drop off and stop off at, and you'll find somebody there that's stuck. So it's not always a direct path from point A to point B.
No, it's not. And hence why we have ghosts, right?
It seems we can get deep.
Hence why there's people haunting buildings and houses. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, I still do mediumship. When I started out on One Two Listen 12 years ago, I was, you know, pretty well known for mediumship skills, and I still do mediumship readings occasionally. It's not in the forefront anymore for me, but when it was 10 years ago, there was a lot of soul retrieval that I participated in, because I would have people call me and say, I just have this feeling that, you know, my father is not, he's not left, you know? So mm-hmm. I've definitely experienced that for sure. And I believe in it. I know that it happens.
And so if they're not trying to deliberately haunt, is it that they miss the white light, the tunnel of light, or what happens? How do they get stuck?
They didn't miss it. They just were, they were not at peace when they passed over. They didn't believe that they should leave. They didn't believe that they should leave. But then also there's this part of me that knows that it was all perfect because it was part of their soul contract to be in limbo or to reside on the earth plane. They signed on the dotted line prior to incarnating into this life, knowing that when they left their body, they would have trouble going back. That was something that their soul wanted to experience. I don't think that any of us are experiencing anything that we have not planned to experience. And that's a tough pill to swallow. Not a lot of people can get behind that, but I believe that our soul is very powerful, and if we're not meant to experience something, we're not going to experience it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I believe it's part of the soul contract when the soul is stuck. I mean, the soul actually thinks it's stuck, but it's not, you know, the personality is really stuck.
And is it true that the human form cannot contain the wholeness of our soul, that there's a part of us that stays on the other side at all
100%
times?
100%. There's no way. Yes. Okay. Unequivocally yes to all of it. Mm-hmm.
So that's why when somebody that you love passes away and you think you can still communicate to them on the other side, even if they're maybe not all the way crossed over, because you're communicating with that other 50% or whatever it is.
Yeah. There's probably only like 10% of our soul that inhabits us when we're here on this earth plane. Yeah. I don't think that our bodies could handle it. Our bodies couldn't handle the light. We would implode.
Yeah. I read that it would absolutely fry the central nervous system.
Yeah.
It would just fry 100%. It completely out.
Mm-hmm. We don't realize how powerful we are. We just don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty wild stuff, huh?
So taking that one step further, then I would think we have nothing to worry about this tunnel of light fake tunnel of light that our soul will know where we need to go.
Yeah.
At the time of death. And we don't have to worry about these reptilians snatching us up and throwing us in a reincarnation mission, right?
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Okay, good. Okay, so for all of you that wanted this topic brought up tonight, okay, you have nothing to worry about. Just, yeah.
Just your soul is wise.
Yeah.
And if your soul takes a detour, it'll find its way back. And there'll be plenty of entities that will guide you back to where you need to be.
That is a comfort, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. It is a comfort for sure.
I had a teacher, a paranormal teacher. He was talking about like when there's been an auto accident and the body is, the soul is like shocked out of the body, that it can sometimes splinter, and that they have a term for it, and I just lost it. I'll think of it. Anyway, that little sliver of that individual stays at the scene of the accident sometimes for a long time, or will go to a house that it lived in and haunt that place. They can even have intelligent conversations with paranormal investigators, as if you're talking to a whole person, but you're actually talking to a shard of them, so to speak. And he cautioned that if we ran across something like that, to just leave it be. Don't try to cross it over. It,
no.
In its own due time, we'll get reunited with the
it's
rest of
it. It's an imprint.
Yeah.
That's an imprint of a soul. I come across imprints all the time of souls. You know, it's weird because like sometimes people will call me up for a reading and I'll just start blabbing about things that have gone on in their lives. And they're like, how do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's like an imprint. Like I'm reading from this imprint, you know? And mm-hmm. It's like you left part of yourself in this situation in 1985, you know? And I'll mm-hmm. start speaking about that situation that happened in 1985. Like part of your soul is imprinted there still. And that's why the story is able to be spoken and told. That's why it's coming through me, because you actually left a piece of yourself there. Yeah, so we do. We leave fragments of ourselves everywhere.
Do they call that energy back, or does it at that point, since it's being discussed and it's being brought to their conscious awareness, does it then mm-hmm. automatically just reunite?
No, because awareness is not enough. You know, being aware of it is one thing, but what you choose to do with it after that is a whole nother ball game. You know, so if you decide that you want to pull those pieces of yourself back through the work, you know, through doing the deep work and the shadow work, a lot of people don't care to go back. You know, they don't want to relive the incident. You know, they're afraid to do that. That's why they hold. But people don't realize that when they leave a piece of themselves somewhere else, that they actually aren't living in real time and they're creating from that other place, you know? So mm-hmm. like situations keep popping up that match that energy when we leave pieces of ourselves. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. mm-hmm. He always cautioned not to try to reunite these shards with the other person, to stay out of it.
Yes.
Because it may not be that person is not ready or able to handle the trauma.
That's right.
And that you will end up traumatizing it and making things much worse.
That's 100% correct. So the person has to want to pull that back in, to call their energy back. You know,
okay.
They have to be willing to take that on and to do the work, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah.
Does that happen in relationships? If there's 100%. Like been a bad breakup in like a really nasty divorce or something, do parts of them stay until it's worked out, or is this just a trauma like accidents and death?
I'm sorry, Raven, you totally cut out, so you're gonna have to repeat that.
Oh, does it happen with nasty breakups with relationships that people will shard like that?
100%,
or is this just death?
Stop. No, it could happen in relationships. It happens in, you know, relation to all people. You know, a lot of us leave pieces of ourselves in past relationships. And it's kind of simple to see when someone's carrying over the trauma from a past relationship into new relationships. They're just creating more of the same trauma for themselves, or, you know, basically meeting the same exact fate again that they were involved in, you know, because if we don't clean it up and we leave part of ourselves behind, we're going to do it over again. You know, we just keep meeting the same person with a different face.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. You know what? I just thought of something. So, oh my gosh, this is so funny. It's not funny, but it's funny. Okay. So the house that I grew up in, from like age 5 through 18, my mom and dad sold that house. It's been probably 15, 20 years ago, but nobody can stay in that house for, it seems, longer than a year. And it has sat empty for most of that time. And I'm just sitting here wondering, Mom and I had a very tumultuous relationship. I'm just wondering if all the fights and all that drama has caused that house to be haunted.
Oh, yeah. That's called a poltergeist.
And I'm responsible for it. Part of it, at least 50% of it. Oh, my gosh. That's so crazy to think about that. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical. But, you know, like... You could feel people's energy in houses when you walk in, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you feel it immediately, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I mean, even a person who's not doing what we're doing for a living or involved in the esoteric world, you know, they can feel tension in the room. They, you know, people say it all the time. There's so much tension in this room, right? You know, it's people leave energy imprints constantly, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. So what should I do to that house? Should I think about, would I have to relive all of that stuff to pull my energy back from that house? I've never thought about this before. I'm just kind of, my mind is just spinning sitting here all of a sudden thinking about, yeah, because the house, people don't stay in that house longer than a year.
Yeah, I would think that if you haven't gone over the trauma from that time, I mean, you don't have to go back and completely relive it, but you know, look at it in terms of, you know, how we spoke, you know, the conversation that we had when we did the last interview. Think of it in terms of, you know, looking at it in a more sterile way, like looking at it soul contract wise like understanding mm-hmm. the soul contract between you and those people. And not like, not feeling that certain way or feeling victimized about it, but feeling, well, we might have to feel victimized about it for a little while, but moving into that space that says, you know, I can understand why I had these interactions with these people. Like, I get it. I get why I'm there, you know, doing that kind of work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's how you pull it back.
With like going into a meditation and walking through the house in my mind and blessing each room, and kind of doing like a remote cleansing, almost like.
Oh yeah, you could totally do that. That's definitely going to be always helpful. Symbolic symbolism to the universe is always going to be helpful, but it's not the whole thing. You know, it's going back and actually doing the work within your own heart, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You getting right with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it. Huh. Yeah. I'll have to talk to you about doing some shadow work on that.
100%. You know, I'm always available.
That just occurred to me. I've never thought of that before until now. That's really amazing.
Pretty wild, right?
Yeah, it is. So when you've done mediumship work, what do the people, do they talk about their transition? Do they talk about their death ever?
Yeah.
And what insights have you gained from those conversations?
I mean, there's been so many, but people are often interested in, you know, what happened to their loved ones when they crossed over. So they'll always search for that kind of information. And a lot of the time they give it up, you know, they freely give it up and they talk about, a lot of them have similar stories. I've heard some, you know, not so similar stories that were kind of funny. I mean, I remember this one guy who, I was channeling for somebody. He said, you know, everybody talks about, you know, walking down this tunnel-like, you know, atmosphere and seeing a light. He's like, I was on an elevator. And he goes, and you know what? I was really hoping it didn't go down. This guy had me in fucking stitches. But it was funny because his daughter, like, totally resonated with it because he was just a funny guy, just had a really funny sense of humor, you know. And she's like, yeah, it's totally, like, it was her uncle or her father, I don't remember. But yeah, I mean, I've had some wild stories like that. Like, I was in an elevator, and you know, I mean, a lot of them are similar. They talk about, you know, walking and seeing a light. I've talked to a lot of people that have had near-death experiences who talk about how as they were walking towards the light, they just were like, oh my God, I'm so happy to be home. And then being pulled back into their bodies and how painful it was and how they hated it and didn't want to be there, you know? Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked to many people who talk about being greeted and having greeters who were pulling them forward, come this way, come this way. You know, nice things like that. I mean, you know, and I've heard some not nice stories as well, that were a little tough to hear, with people who were kind of fighting the process of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, I did have this one gentleman, his wife had called me, a couple of years, well, probably it's been a long time, but, she came. I told her to come in cold. Like, I didn't want to know anything. You know, I just told her to be quiet because I knew this guy was like ready to talk a lot. And I just wanted her to get the full experience of it. And, you know, he jumped off a bridge and committed suicide. But, you know, the message that he wanted her to understand was that he changed his mind at the last minute and that he had fell. You know, but she knew that because she said to me, you're going to tell me something either way. Like, I know you're going to clarify something for me. And when I said that to her, she was like, yeah, she's like, I knew it. She's like, I knew he changed his mind. It was just something I knew, you know, and he clarified that for her. And, you know, he fought. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to leave his body. And it was like he kept telling me that he was being pulled forward by various entities that were like, no, you're out. Like, you're not getting back in your body. Like, you're done, you know. And he was really trying to fight it. But, you know, come hella high water, they led him to the light. And once he saw the light, he was happy to be there, you know. I think he was telling me that he was avoiding looking at the light because he knew that if he looked at it, that it would just change. It would just change everything. You know,
yeah. So he was literally kicking and screaming, being drugged to the light.
Yeah, he changed his mind at the last minute, so he didn't want to go. But you know, yeah. He was going.
That really sucked. Oh God.
Yeah.
To be that driven to that madness, and then okay, I decided I'm going to live now, and then fall. Oh God, that's a bad day.
Yeah, that's the ultimate burn. Man. Like, oh, my life is worth living, and then falling, right?
Yeah, that's cruel.
It is, but it was also, you know, it was also his soul. You know, listen, our souls don't leave this life for no reason. They leave because they're supposed to. You know, people often come to me and say this shouldn't have happened, and in any facet of life, whether it comes to death or you know, relationships ending, or you know, jobs being lost, and whatever, you know, houses, but, you know, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. People always come to me with that common denominator of this shouldn't have happened, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always have the utmost respect for somebody who's in that space, and I'll hold space for them and allow them to make their story sacred, right? Because people have been through some really traumatic, horrific types of abuse in this life, right? I'm not going to sit there and say, well, you know, guess what? You planned for this shit, right? You have to hold people in with a lot of respect and regard when they're processing through these things. But the answer at the end of it is always that your soul is here to have these experiences, and the human mind can't make sense of it. The personality can't make sense of it. You know, the soul knows what it's doing, you know, and it sounds completely ludicrous to all of us to want to come here and experience abuse, or, you know, experience, you know, a lot of hardship, concerning money or being homeless and all these various things that can be a part of the human experience. But I promise you that your soul knows exactly what it's doing, and it came here to have these experiences, and it's not a mistake, and there's nothing wrong with your life, no matter where you are in your life right now. Everything is actually perfect and going as planned. Just stop fighting it.
Yeah. Why is that so hard to remember when you're in the thick of it? When the depression has a hold of you?
Because it's fucking torturous.
It is.
It's difficult. You know, I've been doing this for a very long time, and I'll be kicking and screaming every now and then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Damn well that I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing with, you know, there's things going on in my life right now that are really hard, you know, and at the same time, there's beautiful things going on in my life, but that's just the human experience, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I bet with being a medium, you're not afraid of death.
No, I'm not. I'm not, because I know that when my soul is finished, it's leaving come hell or high water. Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything to say about that. The human part of me has nothing to say about it. I don't fear death, because I know that it's not the end. I know that we are these everlasting souls that will live for eternity and come in and out of various different lives here on the earth plane and on other planets and have all these different experiences. And, you know, I'm grateful for the life that I have here, because life here is beautiful. I mean, it's hard a lot of the time. It's ugly, and it's painful, and it's beautiful, and it's amazing, and we get to experience so many unbelievable things and see so many unbelievable things, and we get to experience love, you know, the human form of love, which is, it's magnificent, you know.
It really is. And I think about, God, there's no ice cream and there's no pizza and no chocolate on the other side, so I really savor and enjoy my pizza and my chocolate and my ice cream.
And the cigarettes and the wine and the beer.
Yes, absolutely. That too.
And the edibles. No, I'm kidding. whatever floats your boat.
Whatever floats your boat, yeah. And the sensory, like petting my really soft cat. It's like, wow, just the whole sense of touch. I never thought of being grateful for the senses of sight, sound, you know, listening to music, a good piece of music.
I love it. I'm always reminded of it during, like, you know, Virgo and Taurus season, and, you know, when all the earth, you know, in Capricorn, when all the earth energy is upon us, I'm always reminded of how beautiful our senses really are, right?
Yeah.
And like you say, to pet your cat is a beautiful thing, and to walk on the beach and to smell the ocean and to feel your feet in the sand. It's, you know, I listen, a lot of people, we joke around and we say, oh God, you know, it's really, I don't want to come back and have another life here on this earth plane. But when we're out of our bodies, we crave to be in our bodies and to have lives on the earth plane, because it's a beautiful experience.
Yeah. And that's why all these, you know, ghosts that are afraid to cross over because of judgment, they try to possess other bodies to get back into a body.
Exactly. Tell them to stay away, Raven.
Yeah. I've read a couple books, and they both say, all of them say that the best place to find a ghost is in churches and in bars. That's where you're finding, not graveyards. That's where they'll hang out.
Yeah, bars, I would understand that, because there's a lot of low energy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But churches, I thought, oh my. Yeah. So yeah, you very rarely ever find them in cemeteries.
I love going to churches. Whenever I visit another country or I'm in another state, I always get so fascinated by going into churches and just feeling into that energy of, because there's so many people in there that have such undying faith, right, for the unseen, and it's a magnificent energy. The last time I was in Mexico, we visited a couple of churches in Puerto Vallarta. It was just
so
beautiful, and the architecture is like unbelievably beautiful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's something, and a lot of the churches were built upon pagan sites of worship, where there were ley lines, so there's a natural energy. Point Right there. Ley lines are like the energy lines, like the veins of Mother Earth.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And a lot of paranormal activity will happen there too.
Yeah, my brother was just in Rome, and he was at the Vatican, and he said, oh, he says, you can't believe the energy when we were there. He said it just took you over. You know, he says, whether you're a believer or not, it's something you just can't deny, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can't wait to get to Europe. Someday I will get there.
Me too. Let's go.
Yeah.
Me, you, and Oliver and Jay. Let's go.
I really want to get to Stonehenge.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't care about
talk anything. About energy, right?
I am going inside. I'm going, if I travel that far to get there, I'm going inside, and the guards will be damned because I'm going in. Absolutely.
You're funny.
What do you think about the extraterrestrials feeding on our negative energy?
You know, I mean, listen, anything's possible, right? Because, I mean, I believe that they exist, obviously. I believe that ETs exist, because we'd have to, you know, be nuts to think that we're alone in this vast universe, right? I mean, and there is good and evil, right? So if they're, you know, I believe they're good ones that are here, you know, doing their work and, you know, helping us and pushing us along. And yeah, I'm sure that there are ones that aren't so nice. Yeah, I mean, it exists.
At first I thought it was absolutely crazy, a crazy thought. And then I thought, well, their leaves absorb sunlight. They don't have mouths, you know, but that's energy that they absorb that they need to live, the whole photosynthesis. So it is possible then that when our vibration is really low, that could be an energetic food source for something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know it's true, because you know that we've all experienced it, where we start out with the day being really shitty and we're in this low energy, and your day just keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
And then you hear all this nonsense going on in your head. It's like, yeah, I mean, listen, if we're going to believe in angels and, you know, bunnies and lollipops and everything nice, you've got to believe there's the opposite, because remember, we live on a dual planet, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So duality exists. So everything opposite has to exist.
As above, so below.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right. I agree. Yeah.
And so
it's a good reason to keep your vibe high, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, when you watch the news, which I try not to watch the news, but I get a little bit of news here and there. And you look at some of the misery that these people that we have voted in to, you know, take care of us and do for the betterment of society and our nation are making these decisions that are making things worse. I have to question if that whole thing about these reptilians manipulating politicians and, you know, people in places, if that isn't true. Have you ever seen anything like that attached to anybody?
Wait, say that again, honey.
Have you ever seen anything attached to somebody like that?
Oh,
like that?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Unfortunately, yes. It exists. Yes, it has.
That is real.
It is real. It is real. I've had to shake a few off, and I'm visitors that, I mean, I've hung up from phone calls of doing readings with people where there were things that were attached, and I've had to remove them from myself and my house. And it's not sometimes an easy task. It can take days and weeks to pull yourself out of that, you know, especially like I will never, if I know that, first of all, I don't look for it. I don't ask, you know, I don't advertise that I will, you know, help people that have that sort of thing going on, because that's just not my thing. I don't want to mess with that. There are people that do it. I have a very good friend who is very skillful at it, and she's fierce as hell. I will always recommend them to my friend Jennifer. But every now and then you get caught on a phone call where, you know, you're not expecting it and you feel it, and there's nothing that you can do. You know, you're in it already, right? So you have to move forward accordingly. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. You know, it's not something that I enjoy.
So these entities connect with you just because you're on the phone with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, oh, wow.
That's why you have to make sure, like I always, psychic hygiene is such an important part of what we do for a living, because we're dabbling in the energy fields of people who are going through some pretty traumatic stuff. And when people are going through a lot of trauma in their lives, they definitely can pick up entities that attach themselves to that person because of their low energy. So with that in mind, psychic hygiene is so important. That's why I meditate all the time. I walk all the time. I exercise. I take really good care of myself on an energetic level for that reason, to keep my vibe high. I can't, you know, I can't dabble in low energy for long because of the portal that's opened up. You know, it's, I got to be so careful with that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So like when you're in a crowd, say you go to a concert or something and there's been exposed to a lot of low energy, low vibrant people, what is the best thing a person could do when upon getting home?
Well, what I usually do if I'm in a situation like that, I avoid those situations like the plague. What I do is I just make sure I shield myself before I go in. You know, I say a little prayer. You know, you've heard of that where, you know, you encase yourself in the white light, you know, the pink bubble. That's important to do, but also to be in high spirits, you know. Where you vibrate is what you're going to pull in. That's why, you know, it's like for me, I tend to stay away from people who vibrate low. I'm not really an energetic match for them. I'm a double Sagittarius, so I'm, you know, I'm kind of flying high a lot, right? But you know, Sagittarius can fly low when, you know, when in Rome, right? But you know, because the brighter the light, the darker the shadow, right? So I don't really attract in low vibrating people, but when I do, I shield myself. I discern, you know, I don't spend my time in those circles because it's painful, you know?
God, I just looked at the clock. We're out of time.
We are out of time.
Tell everyone the best way to reach you if they'd like to work with you.
Yeah. So I am over at 1-2-listen.com on the daily. And if I'm not on, you can request a call back. You can also visit me at my website at ChristinaLaFrance.com. And also, I do a radio show on Mondays at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time on 1-2 Radio called The Christina LaFrance Show. Come and visit me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for staying up late. You're on East Coast time.
You are so welcome. Thank you for having me. It was a fun conversation.
Yes, great. Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody in the chat room tonight. Thank you for being here with us. And remember to shine your light, because the world needs it. So I'll see you next week. Love you all. Bye-bye.